Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Today we are going to be talking about the case of the Cuban Five and the upcoming 5 days for the Cuban Five in Washington, D.C. Our guest is my friend, Alicia Rapko, and Alicia is the U.S. coordinator for the International Committee to Free the Five. So stay tuned and we'll be right back with Alicia Rapko. Alicia Rapko, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Cindy.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. I don't think you've ever been on the show before, have you?
No, this is my first time.
And we talk a lot about the case of the Cuban Five. We talk to authors and activists about it. So in case there are some of my listeners who don't know about the case, I will be posting some links on the newsletter, et cetera, but can you give a brief synopsis of who the Cuban Five are?
Sure. The Cuban Five came to the United States during the 90s to monitor the activities of terrorist groups based in Miami. After they monitored them for a while and they provide information to the U.S. government, the U.S. government, instead of arresting the terrorists, they arrested the Cuban Five. This was in 1998. They are in prison for more than 15 years now. Two of them are back in Cuba because they completed their sentence, not because any other reason. They completed their total sentence. And there are three of them still in prison, one serving two life sentence. So that's why we wanted to intensify the campaign for their freedom.
And, of course, the trial was just an amazing miscarriage of justice. And, you know, of course they should never have been arrested or convicted or having to be in prison for so long. And what are some recent developments on the case? You know, like legal development or any kind of hope we have?
Sure. Before I go to that, let me tell you that, you know, when the Cuban Five came to the U.S., because the United States government never has done anything to stop the activities of terrorist groups that came to the United States after the Cuban Revolution. And a lot of people have died because of those actions, close to 3,500 people. I'm sure your listeners have heard the story of a plane dropping in mid-air in 1976 where 73 innocent people died. Cuba has no other choice to send people to Miami to control those groups, to monitor them, to prevent future actions. I think that is something that any country in the world has the right to do. Unfortunately, those activities continue until today. Just recently, Cuba forced Cuban-Americans from Miami, or Cuban-born living in Miami, were arrested. And they're connected to the same man who was one of the masterminds of the bombing of the Cubana plane. So that means that they're still working on damaging Cuban people, the Cuban country, you know. So that's why the Cuban Five came here, and I'm pretty sure they were not the first one, and they're not going to be the last one either, because until the U.S. government stopped all those terrorists, allowing them to continue in this soil to attack all the countries, I mean, any country has the right to do it, to defend itself. So that's why the Cuban Five, you know, enjoy so much support around the world, because they are heroes, not only for the Cuban people, but they're heroes for a lot of people around the world, and for many of us here in the United States, because they were trying to save American lives too. Now, latest development, you know, we have been working in this case for a long time, and for many, many years, we have not used at all, as you say. At the beginning, when the trial took place in Miami, it was totally, impossible to have a fair trial in Miami of five men accused of being agents of the Cuban government. They never denied that. They were agents of the Cuban government, but what they say is that they didn't come here to threaten national security or anything like that. They came here to protect the country. So the trial was totally like a farce. They were tried in Miami, and the judge never wanted to move the trial, not even 20 miles away, 25 miles away, where the lawyers were asking for. Not even in another state. She had to move the trial out of the city of Miami. But that didn't happen. The case went all the way up to the Supreme Court. They lost. They won one of the appeals, but they lost everything else. So we believe that the struggle is a political struggle at this point, the political prisoners. Well, in the last year has been some new developments. First of all, like I said before, two of them are back in Cuba, and that makes a big difference. Even if they are not back because, you know, they were able to just have one day before they ended their sentences. But, you know, they're back anyway with their family, and that made the campaign, you know, much stronger. Also, a lot of articles are happening lately in the U.S. media because there is one man who was arrested in Cuba 4 years ago. His name is Alan Gross. He was working for under a contract of USAID. Many people in the U.S., including Congress people and senators, are struggling for to bring him back. But the Cuban government has openly said to them, we are ready to negotiate if you sit down with us without preconditions, because we also want to have our three guys back. So that is the hope, Cindy, at this point, that any conversation that could take place between the two countries. We don't know if anything happened. We know that recently four Congress people, including Barbara Lee from this area, went to Cuba, visited Alan Gross, and when they came out, they did a press conference asking the Obama administration to negotiate with Cuba, to sit down and negotiate. Cuba is ready, and they have said it openly, and I think that it's for us to pressure the U.S. government, the Obama administration, to do the right thing, to talk to the Cubans, to find a humanitarian solution to the case of the Cuban Five.
Well, and also, this isn't really related to the case, but we know what a small community Cuba is. Recently, the U.S. tried to foment, counter-revolution there by having by making what they called Cuban Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S. never stopped, you know, since the beginning of the revolution. It's the exact same policy, regime change, and they have tried in many, many different ways, and they haven't been able to succeed. That's why now even people that you cannot imagine, and for not the same reason that we have, they wanted to change the policy of Cuba because it's shown that it didn't work. It never worked, and it never will. So, you know, it's a lot of money put into the regime change in Cuba. Since Fineo, what you're talking about, the Twitter, is one of them. It's like paying like people that they say they're independent journalists, but really nobody knows who they are in Cuba, and they receive a lot of money from abroad to, you know, they are known outside the country, but not in Cuba.
Well, Alicia, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and why you are involved in the case. You're the U.S. coordinator for the International Committee to Free the Five. And how did you get involved in this, you know, this cause?
I'm from Argentina. I've been in the United States for many years. And I always feel like solidarity work was something that I really feel strongly. And, you know, I started going to Cuba with Pastor for Peace, the caravan Pastor for Peace, challenging the U.S. blockade against Cuba. And then I got involved with the case of Elian Gonzalez, the child that I'm sure everybody remember that he ended up in Miami with his mother, and then she died, and then he was rescued and then sent it back. That was a struggle that many of us were involved with, and it was amazing to see the result, because at the end, Elian returned home. And then we found out about the Kilo 5, and at first I wasn't sure who they were, because nobody was talking about the news were coming from Miami only. We didn't know anything from Cuba, we didn't hear anything, and then finally I found out who they were, and I started communicating with them via the mail, and I became more and more involved. Then my husband and I were very fortunate to be approved to visit Gerardo Hernandez here in Victor Beach, California, and served a penal sentence, and our life changed forever. Not only to get to know these guys, but to know their family, their wife, their children, and the international movement that is around this case is very, very amazing and gives us a lot of strength. And we feel that it's our obligation living in the United States to embrace this cause and to keep fighting for the freedom. And, you know, sometimes I feel it's really far away, never it's going to happen. And other times I feel that it's getting closer. So, you know, I have a lot of hope. We are doing a lot of work right now for the upcoming activities. I mean, it's just, you know, we all find our own reasons why we get involved in something. And then when things keep growing in our heart, you know, for the right reason, we should keep going.
So in, you know, perfect segue into keeping going, tell my listeners about the third, I think it's the third annual 5 days for the Cuban Five in Washington, D.C.
Yes, we start, this is the third year that we're organizing this event. And I tell you, Cindy, the first year that we did it, we weren't sure exactly what we were doing. But last year, we gained a lot of experience, and this year, it's going really well. We call it 5 days for the Cuban Five in Washington, D.C. This year is going to be June 4th to June 11th, and we have organized different activities around those days. One of them is a press conference. Then we have 2 days conference with a number of speakers that I can talk a little bit more if we have time. Then we have a rally in front of the White House. We have a concert with Dead Press and many others that are going to join that night. Then we have 2 days of activity with parliamentarians. We already have confirmed the participation of a number of parliamentarians and mayors from Latin America and Europe. And we're going to have the mayor of Richmond coming with us also. And I know we're going to have Cindy Sheehan with us too.
Right.
So we're very excited. And then we're going to have a final event. But it's really amazing, you know, how many more people are joining, coming to Washington. And, you know, last year when we visited members of Congress, you know, it's not our really experience or expertise to do lobby work, but it was pretty amazing last year because the parliamentarians that are coming from other countries are involved in the case, they know about the case, and they're doing things in their own country. So they come here because they're parliamentarians. Actually, the Congress people, not the aides, but the Congress itself, received them, and they were able to express how they feel about the case. And I was able to be with some of them, and it was amazing to me. I mean, the way that they were talking about the importance of the case in Latin America. So this year, we're going to have more parliamentarians than last year. We're going to have some from Europe. And then during the conference, the 2 days conference, we're going to have a lot of people speaking. We're going to have religious people. Jan Brown Campbell is coming. She was she's a former general secretary of the Council of Churches in the United States. And Glover will be with us. And then we have different panels, some of them about all this development, like the SUNEO and the USAID program. We're going to have one on history of terrorism against Cuba, where we're going to have there the son of Orlando Letelier, the Chilean man who was killed here in the United States by bombing. by the same people that are still fluent in Miami. Jose Pérez Tierra, a very known lawyer. We're going to have other workshops about cultural exchange during the Obama administration. A legal panel with the lawyers of the Cuban side. Also, Ramsey Clark will be with us, the former U.S. Attorney General. And attorneys coming from different countries. They will have one about political prisoners in the U.S., Oscar López Rivera. We're going to have Rafael Cancel Miranda, who is the leader of the Puerto Rican independent movement, who was in jail in the U.S. for 27 years. So we're very excited. And then we have a panel with people that have written books that counter the misinformation about Cuba and the case of the child. We're very excited about this coming up series of events that are going to happen from the 4th of June to the 10th. And we hope more people can come. You know, for your listeners, I'm sure not everybody can jump in and get in the plane and go to Washington. But, you know, they still can endorse the activities. They can support it that way, putting their name and supporting the 5 days. It's also a need for donations, but, you know, they understand that. It's a crisis right now, so we all need that. I don't know if you have any other questions. We are in preparation that the last day, this is the last day, we have received a lot of requests, like today, of people wanting to come, still sending invitations to parliamentarians that are popping up all of a sudden. And so it's very exciting to see. Plus, let me tell you another thing, Cindy, that we have people coming from many different countries to this event, from Belgium, from England, from I just need to remember all the countries, Latin America, from Argentina, from Chile, from Brazil, from Uruguay. We have a lot of people from Sweden. We have a big delegation from Vancouver. 16 people are coming from Vancouver. Yeah, so it's, and plus, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that on the day of the rally on June 7th, in front of the White House, we have 2 buses coming from New York. And we also have some support from unions. We think this year it's going to be, the demonstration is going to be bigger than other years because, you know, other voices are joining with us for this 5 days.
Okay, so excellent. Did you attend the recent tribunal in London?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell my listeners a little bit about what happened there?
Sure. And actually, the Commission of Inquiry, let me explain first what you asked me. What happened in London in March was an international Commission of Inquiry on the case of the Cuban Five. They brought 3 judges and a number of witnesses, including lawyers of the Cuban Five and family members of the Cuban Five and some family members of the victims of the plane that blew up in the air, and other women whose mother was killed bombing in one of the embassies in Portugal. So the 3 judges listened to all the testimonies, and then at the end, they made, you know, a decision, and they're going to write it in a big report that is going to be brought up to D.C., Washington, D.C. This is, of course, it's symbolic because legally it doesn't have any value, but, you know, has been a lot of tribunals like this in the past for other cases. And so it was a very, very good event. And like I said, that report is going to be brought up by the UK because they're bringing a 7-people delegation from the UK. It's going to be, we're going to put it in a package that is going to go to each Congress member that we're going to visit. So they're going to be able to read the decision of the tribunal in London.
Great. I was going to ask you also, you have been involved in having prominent people or notorious people write letters to Barack Obama on the 5th of every month. Can you talk a little bit about that? And have you had, like, I know when I wrote one to him, I didn't get any response from the administration, but have you had, has anybody had any response about these letters?
Well, you know, the letter, this campaign is keep going, and I think that it's part of the political campaign. The first one we started in 2012, and, you know, we started with the mayor of Richmond, then actors like Mike Farrell, you wrote one, wonderful, Marco Parenti, you know, even a former congressperson, James Ellis, wrote one. And we keep going, and we're going to keep doing this because, you know, it's, and we send those letters, and of course we don't get any response from the White House. If any, it's an automatic response. Thank you very much. You know, we are concerned about you, you know, concerned about nothing in concrete. But we still are continuing to do that, and we think it's important because the letters reflect, you know, they're coming from union people, from activists, from religious figures. They're coming from lawyers and from book writers. And we're going to continue doing it because we think that it's important to keep the pressure.
Oh, absolutely. So, Alicia, tell my listeners the website, and I will also post it in the newsletter. So if people want more information, or like you said, if they can't make it, if they can donate to help out with the expenses.
Yeah, we have, you know, our webpage, our regular webpage is thekivan5.org, thekivan5.org. But right now we have a blog for people to see, and the blog is 5daysforthekivan5.com. 5 days for the Kivan 5 post with number 5, that's C-O-M. And if you go to that blog, you can walk, go around, if you want to add your voice, if you want to donate, if you want to find out information about each day of the event in June, and we will update that blog the entire time. So it's very important that people keep checking. We're going to have YouTube there. We're going to have photos. We are trying to be on top as much as we can. But again, the blog right now is 5daysforthekivan5.com.
Great. Well, Alicia, I look forward to seeing you and the rest of our friends and colleagues from around the world. And thank you, as always, for all the work you do, and thank you for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox today, and I hope you feel better and heal completely before you have to head to that cesspool back east.
Thank you so much, Amy. Looking forward to seeing you there.
Okay, Alicia. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You
okay.
Too.
Bye-bye. Well, that wraps up another show about the Kivan 5. One of my very first shows 6 years ago was about the Kivan 5, and we still keep on going, as Alicia said. I hope you go to the website, 5daysforthekivan5.com. That's numbers 5. And as always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar, my production assistant, Dee Dee Miller. I'd like to thank Alicia Repko for her dedicated work and for justice and for peace and for humanity. I'd like to thank you for listening and supporting the show. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.